something a lot of people are talking about at the moment, and it's something I'm not bothered about putting my hands up and saying this. It fries my brain. Artificial intelligence, AI, is transforming our world. It's everywhere and is increasingly becoming part of our everyday lives. Experts predict its importance is only going to grow in the coming years. But what are the benefits and the risks of AI? And what is it? My next guests in the studio have... I'll say they've promised they can break it down for me. We're going to find out now into bite-sized chunks so it's easier to understand. Darren Bentham and Kyle Idham from AI Works in Chorley. Between them, loads of experience in artificial intelligence, and which is probably a good job with some of the daft questions I'll be asking you both this morning. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, very good, yes.
Yeah, Thank you very much. So, Darren, I'll come to you first. AI Works in Chorley. Just tell me what you do, first of all.
Yeah, in essence, we do anything from training, consultancy and software development in AI. As you know, I've been working with AI since 1992, so it's been around for some time. It's not a new technology.
You see, I think a lot of people go, it only happened last year, AI. Mm. It's been going for years and years and years, hasn't it?
Yeah, you've been using it for some time. It's just not been labelled with AI. So your predictive text... Your facial recognition inside Facebook, your spam detection on your email. There's numerous items that AI has been working in the background. Games consoles, when you've been playing Street Fighter, AI technology.
No.
So it's all been there in the background, but recently it's got better, much, much better. But the marketing people have gotten bored now and they're calling it AI.
Right. Okay. And Kyle, what about you? How did you get into it?
Well, I've just been doing software development since I was about 19, so I'm 32 now. So, you know, it's just one of those where the technology is there, it's available. Obviously, there's a lot of scope there. It's a huge thing. It's got a lot of potential. So, yeah, you'd be kind of crazy not to in this line of work, really.
Yeah, that's interesting. Something we might touch on later on as well in terms of, you know, future careers for young people and things like that, because it's not going anywhere, is it?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Darren, can you break it down for me? What is AI?
In essence, it's pattern matching. It's looking at mathematical probabilities. So you ask it a question, what's the most likely answer that it's seen already? In essence, that's what it is. Definition in the past has been the Turing test, where you've got two humans talking and also a third person, which is a computer. And if you can't tell them apart, if it passes that test, that's classed as intelligence. But with modern chat programs, that's been passed numerous times. You've also got something called the Chinese Room by a philosopher called John Searle. So with the Chinese Room, you've got a big room and with a sign in Chinese native script outside saying, please ask me any questions. So a Chinese native speaker comes along and he writes a question on saying, tell me a joke. He writes in Chinese, he puts it through a post box in the wall, he waits a bit, and then a piece of paper comes out again in Chinese with a joke on it. It's hilarious. He tells his friend, ask that room over there any question. His friend comes along, tell me a recipe for a Victoria sponge cake. Puts it through in Chinese script, waits a bit, a piece of paper comes out. Inside, there's a man who speaks not a word of Chinese. And what he does, he gets these pieces of paper with his weird letters and signs on it. He goes to a big warehouse. He finds the box with the slip that matches that those characters, and he pulls out a piece of paper and he pushes it through an hole in the wall. So in essence, it looks intelligent from the outside, but on the inside, it's just matching against characters. And the warehouse is so big, it seems intelligent.
Right.
So in essence, that's what modern AI is.
I remember having a conversation with, I think it was an artist. Hmm. We were talking about, you know, these computer-generated images. And again, I asked him the same question. How does it do it? And the way he explained it was fascinating. Similar to what you just said, like going into a big warehouse, finding, say you wanted, I don't know, a picture of a gorilla wearing wellies or something like that. Why I've just come up with that image, I do not know. I have no
idea.
Random,
yeah.
But it would search millions and millions and millions and millions of images of gorillas and then wellies and wellies and wellies,
yes,
and wellies, and then overlay and overlay, and then you would come up with this image. But my brain, it just sort of can't fathom it. How quickly it does it and where all that information is.
Mm. I mean, yeah, it's seen like in that example, it's seen millions of gorillas, it's seen millions of wellies. So it's not completely out of the question to kind of pair the two together. And that's all it's really doing. You've just got a load of information, a load of data, and it's just, yeah, it's just matching really. And it's seen it before. And
so it's just that probability. So for example, if it's never seen something before, it would go to the nearest match of what it has seen.
Okay, right. Okay, I'm with you. You mentioned, Aaron, when we first started chatting, that AI has been around many, many, many years.
Yeah, much older than me.
Yeah, you gave us some examples. Where is it in everyday life now that we still may not realise? Like, I know when sometimes you go on your apps or you're doing shopping, it'll say, chat to us, do you want to ask a question, maybe banking or supermarkets, that sort of thing. Is that AI talking to us? Where else is it in everyday life?
On your email spam filter, your firewalls, in your games consoles, medical devices, you name it. It's virtually everywhere at the moment. There's very few places it's not touching. So even you mentioned with the creative sector with painting and artists.
Yeah.
It's creeping into that sector. So in terms of where isn't it? I'm going to struggle on that one.
Anything else on paper, basically, isn't it?
Even down to farms. Farms are using it for planting seeds and working out the best time to plant the crops and to harvest the crops.
Yeah.
In space, when you're autonomous. It's everywhere.
Absolutely. And was it 90s you've been involved in this?
You started, 92 I started.
92. How many years is that? Is this a few, isn't it?
It's a few.
Rubbish at mass. Absolutely rubbish.
33, wasn't it?
Like, when did this explosion sort of happen? Like, where we're all now talking about it. You've been involved in it for many, many years. What changed?
Roughly the last 3 years. So the technology's been around some time. It's just got much better. So where I mentioned about the Chinese room where the questions you can ask it, the number of questions exploded with something called generative AI, where it creates something new. So people have heard of the terminology GPT.
Yeah.
So they're not really familiar that it means generative, pre-trained transformer.
You see, I didn't know that, and I'm always on chat, GPT, asking questions about the boiler.
So Gemini, Claude, they're all GPTs.
Yeah.
So a generative, it creates something new. P for pre-trained, it's seen it before. And transform, it modifies it slightly to match what you're asking it.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah. Are you excited by it, Kyle?
Oh, yeah, I love it, yeah. I mean, I'm a big techie anyway, so, yeah, any sort of technological advancement, I'm straight on that. So I love it. I can't wait for it to get better.
When you say get better, in what do you mean by that? How?
It's always going to train and become better than what it is currently. Obviously, we see a lot of kind of, you know, cat videos or whatever, and you think, wow, this is amazing, but it's only going to get better. It's only going to be more accurate. It's only going to be, you know, it's going to be able to do more
realistic
things, more realistic, more tools that you can use to do things.
But that's really worrying, isn't it?
Yeah.
In some ways. I mean, I fell victim to the bear on the trampoline. Yeah. I was like, this is amazing. Look at this footage of a bear on a trampoline. It was not a bear on a trampoline. It was AI-generated content. But I couldn't tell at that point. And like you say, if it's only going to get clearer and better and more, you know, advanced, how on earth do we know what's real and what isn't?
There are some ways from a technical point of view, of indicating it's AI-generated, because the AI generators are putting little fingerprints into the content. So they're putting, for example, on a image, you might see a watermark or some metadata behind the scenes. With an audio file, a song or a piece of music, what they're doing is adding... The human ear can only hear a certain range of frequencies. So they're putting some sounds out of our frequency range into the background to indicate... So the AI is generating the content and then telling other AIs this is AI-generated content. So then in the future, it can isolate it.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? You know, when we started talking about photographs, and I just came out of my strange brain, a gorilla in Wellies. Mm-hmm. Chris has just sent me a photograph. So he must have just been on to one of the AI things, and that's what it's come up with. I mean, it's not a bad photo, is it?
It's
absolutely bizarre. Slight resemblance to Chris as well, actually, if you look quite closely. Chris, thank you for that. We've got loads more to talk about. Stick with us. You're out for time.
Yeah, fine.
Thank you very, very much. Bill Idden from AI Works in Chorley. I sort of get it, but I think this conversation is, it's confusing me even more. It's just so vast, isn't it? Sembello Maniac, BBC Radio Lancashire. It is Monday morning, the 9th of March, 24 minutes to 12. And my name's Sharon Hartley, with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. My guests in the studio, Darren Bentham and Kyle Idden from AI Works in Chorley. There is so much to talk about, so much with regards to AI. An awful lot of positive, you know, obviously with technological advancements and the way it can help in day-to-day life. But there's a real negative side to AI as well. This is just something I want to mention. It's a current news story causing a load of debate. And it led to the government condemning the social media platform X's AI tool Grok, and this was because of a load of generated derogatory posts, absolutely awful, about Hillsborough and the Heysel disasters, also as well about Diego Jota, the Munich air disaster. The government called it sickening and irresponsible, and it came about because basically some users said, right, generate me the most awful post you can about these terrible incidents. Gok responded, saying that its responses were generated strictly because users prompted me explicitly for vulgar roasts. The posts had been removed from X after complaints. Stuff like that, how on earth do you navigate it? To me, it feels like the absolute Wild West out there in terms of the negativity and the awful content that can be generated. Where do you start with that?
I think the main way you would filter out personally is to validate the source of the content. I mean, for example, if you compare news stories from the BBC to maybe Steve's podcast on the internet, one is a lot more trustworthy source than the other one. And I think, in essence, the content itself, you can't tell them apart. They could both be equally true or false, but you would trust the BBC a lot more than you would an independent producer.
And on the flip side of this today, there's a story that's been running with regards to affecting the trains, and there's been a fire at a building in Glasgow. That has happened. There are photographs online. It's on the BBC News website. And then there's now talk of AI saying that it's not, it's fake, and it's like flipped it around. How on earth does that work? How does that get into the AI system when an event has happened and there's evidence of it, you know, for people to see?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things really happening there. One, it's breaking news, so it's the most recent event that's happened. AI wouldn't have seen this before until this very second. And then secondly, they could have used AI to enhance images, enhance a video. And as Darren was saying before, there could be some metadata in there or a watermark of some kind to say, you know, this has been enhanced by AI. So that's kind of the two main ways, really, that it might spit out that it's AI generated content.
It may have seen a similar fire before.
Right.
Fires on an old fashioned building look pretty similar. It may have seen a very, very similar looking building on fire and thinks from its history bank, I've seen that before. It's been fake.
Unbelievable, isn't it? It really is. Just going back to the Grok incident as well, that led, you know, the UK government to react about that sickening, as it called it, sickening and irresponsible content. How do you feel about something like that?
I think we're going to see a backlash against the media in general, because when content is artificial and it becomes so realistic you can't tell them apart, the only way people can manage that is by turning it off. Which is quite sad in many respects, but I can't see any way around that because it is so realistic even now. You've seen the difference in the last 3-4 years with AI. What's it going to be like in 10, 20, 30 years' time? It's going to be so realistic, even software can't tell it apart.
Looking to the future, I mean, it's so clever now, and I use the clever because I don't know how else to describe it. You know, this is how I see it. It's unbelievable. It is clever. Should we be excited or nervous about the future in terms of AI?
A bit of both. excited in the opportunities. So self-driving cars, an improved medical system with the diagnosis and correction with cataract operations, for example, are going to be so much more perfect compared to a human being doing the same job. But the flip side is that we're going to lose trust in social interaction online. And I think that's the biggest risk.
What would you say to that, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, it is exciting. I feel like it's not too dissimilar from kind of when we started getting the internet and computers started becoming a thing. Obviously, we created a lot of jobs with computers and the internet. I think the AI would be pretty similar in that sense. There's going to be a lot of opportunity. I think a lot of people will kind of reskill or upskill. I'm going to see a huge shift in the workforce in general. I think it's going to be a pretty exciting time, really. But it's always nervous because change is nervous, that unnerving. I'm excited for it personally, 100%.
Darren, in terms of what you and Kyle do at AI Works in Chorley,
what
do you do? Like, how do you use AI within your business? What's it all about?
So in the first essence, what we do is we train businesses on introducing AI into the workplace. So we look at the business flows, the workflows, map out where AI can work. Unfortunately, we have some people we speak to who think it's a magic bullet and it's going to instantly make the business better. It can. It works in certain areas better than others. So we map out the business flow, and then we put in a consultative process in place, and then we build software to introduce AI into the workplace, which is generally tailored for them.
And are you seeing changes in the way people are running the businesses, you know, here in Lancashire? What's the demand for what you do like?
There's a huge demand. Everyone has bottlenecks in their business processes. For example, if you've got a manufacturing production line, if a production line stops, that's kind of a load of lost money. With AI, if you have sensors in place to monitor vibrations, voltage, all that kind of stuff, we can train AI to look at these patterns, monitor it, and raise flags if anything is going wrong. So then we kind of call that preventative maintenance, so that you can send an engineer out to fix something before it's broken. So that will then obviously keep the production line going and you wouldn't lose any money. So, yeah, there's a lot of use cases for it. A lot of businesses are kind of waking up to the fact that there are bottlenecks, and it's like, what can we do to automate this process? And, yeah, that's what we're seeing a lot of.
I have a lot of conversations with business owners who AI is coming into their workplace without their knowledge. So people are bringing new tools in constantly and using it in ways that they don't even know about. And then they encounter this. Well, what's the risk? What's the data breach policy? What's the GDPR compliance on this one? So we have that conversation with the IT manager, the supervisors, the business owners to try and work out how they can introduce AI in a safe way, a compliant way.
And you started, Kyle, didn't you, as an apprentice with Darren?
I did.
I said many moons ago.
Yeah. I think it was 13 years ago, something like that, 13, 14 years ago, yeah. So it's been a journey.
In terms of young people today, you know, leaving school, going into apprenticeships, thinking of a future in AI, would you recommend it?
100%.
Yeah, 100%. I think... Yeah, to be honest, I don't actually think we see enough people doing kind of software and AI. I feel like there's still a need and a requirement there. They're teaching kind of Python and stuff, programming languages in schools now. But I think, I think we need to see a lot more software developers and techies coming out of school and colleges. 100%.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons for that is what you touched yourself, Sharon. It seems so fanciful and so high-tech. They think, well, I can't do this. They can with the right training and the right using the right tools and watching the right videos or wherever they learn from it. It is a technology which is open to anyone to pick up, be it from a technical or non-technical background.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to talk to you both. That's absolutely. I've just looked at the clock. I'm thinking I better stop talking because we've got to do our traffic and travel. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining me in the studio.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Welcome.
No worries. Anytime.
Thank you very, very much. My guests in the studio this morning, Darren Bentham and Kyle Idden from AI Works in Chorley. And you are listening to BBC Radio Lancashire. The time is now 11:45.
BBC Radio.
with the Backstreet Boys. I Want It That Way, BBC Radio Lancashire. It's Monday morning, the 9th of March. You thought I'd said goodbye to my guest, didn't you? Well, I didn't. We're still here chatting. And we thought, you know what? Another 5 minutes on BBC Radio Lancashire. Loads of questions to ask Darren Bentham and Kyle Idden from AI Works in Chorley. Again, thank you for staying with us for the best part of an hour. You're much welcome. Appreciated. In terms of regulation, when we're talking about AI, and I go back to the Grok story that we mentioned earlier, it seems that it's part of a trend where ordinary people, right, are being asked or are asking AI to generate vulgar, no holds barred comments, you know, and to be as awful and as offensive as possible. What can we do in terms of regulation? Are we on dodgy ground?
I think X obviously is the primary kind of culprit here. And I think, you know, it's a shame really, because it takes a lot of backlash before X kind of implements any kind of restrictions. We've seen it with the content that you're talking about, as well as the sexualizing of images. X eventually did address this, and, you know, they've added the filters in place, and you now need to be a paid member to access certain things. So it's just a matter of waiting for these providers to implement kind of guide rails, if you will, and restricting that level of content. So it is coming. It's just not fast enough, as we've all seen, which is unfortunate, really.
Yeah, it's down to accountability. I think ultimately, if these people knew the police could find out who they were, would they be generating this content? Which I very much doubt. And then the flip side of that coin, if we stifle freedom of speech, which is what we're talking about here, the content is abhorrent, but freedom of speech, who restricts that right to say what you want? So it's a difficult one to answer, but for my mind, it's no different from creating social media content for the last 10 years. I think we need some accountability so we can prove the source of the content.
Something else to ask you here as well. Stephen Hawking warned that full artificial intelligence could potentially lead to the end of the human race.
Yep.
He feared that superintelligent AI could redesign itself at an accelerating rate, surpassing human capabilities and becoming uncontrollable. Hawking described AI as potentially the best or worst thing to happen to us. What would you say to that?
I think the worrying thing in that respect, he's right. I do agree with him. It's the speed that the computers can operate and what access it has. Because there's so many machines, military, medical, that are connected to the internet. If the AI was on the internet and given free rein, then what would it do? If it's seen enough films and it seemed that the answer to the human problem is to extermination, it might find and believe that the truth that that's the answer to all the world's problems.
Mind-boggling, isn't it? I've got one final question for you. Will it take my job?
No, absolutely not. I think, to be honest, I think in terms... I think a lot of jobs where it requires, you know, it's personal or things that are empathetic, anything like that, they're all going to be safe. I think we're going to see a lot more podcasts, radio, you know, anything, doctors, all that kind of stuff will never be replaced because you can't... We always crave, we're social animals, we crave that personal kind of touch, really.
Replace is probably the wrong word. Augmentation is what we use, which is enhancing you, making you better at doing your job.
I'll take anything that enhances me. I'll take a bit of that. Can we talk after the show tonight? See what we could do. Really, really appreciate your time again. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio. It's been really good to chat. Darren Bentham and Kyle Idden there from AI Works in Chorley. If you want to get in touch with me as we head into, what day is it? Monday afternoon. Please do so. I'd love to know as well from you how you use AI. Are you like me? And you ask it the most ridiculous questions and then all of a sudden you feel like you've got, I don't know, it's a bit like your mate in your back pocket. And I just quite enjoy the the chats, the advice, the reassurance, or just tell me what you think of it as well. Get in touch, WhatsApp me, 08000 321 333. Start your WhatsApp message with the word Lancs. And of course, you can call us today. Free phone number from landlines and mobiles, 0800 783 583. Still to come on the show. This afternoon, the rewind between 1 and 2 o'clock. We are going back in time, might be 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s or noughties, but safe to say, it'll be a belter kicking off the week. And the brilliant music continues.